WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss. Certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlanta's Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta Mercedes-Benz, Sandy Springs.
Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters here on a Sunday morning at 7 past the hour, 57 degrees on Peachtree. Tune in tomorrow morning for Kirk Mellish's weather forecast brought to you by Shoemate Heating and Air. I'm your host, Wes Moss, here every Sunday morning in a world that is full of stormy seas. We talked to the first hour here on Money Matters about the cover of Barron's. It's the Enola or the Andrea Gale. Remember that ship in The Perfect Storm? The fishing boat steered by George Clooney and Mark Wahlberg, headed to sea, headed too far, and when they came back, they hit the perfect storm. That's the cover of Barron's. It's a fishing vessel about to capsize on this tremendous wave. Stormy seas, the headline. What's the next main headline in here? Rally, masks, rising risks. And then the next headline, the soldiers are in retreat. It just keeps going. It's a very bearish looking cover. But then on the cover, it also says special report, despite turbulent markets, the U.S. economy will avoid recession and grow at a healthy 3% pace this year. Well, they didn't put a sun on the cover. They put clouds and a stormy sea. Your questions here in the studio, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. It's Trump Day in Atlanta. You go down the downtown connector, and there's a gigantic billboard of Trump that says, hey, come to the Georgia World Congress Center. He's having a big rally. It starts at 4 today. So traffic will be complete insanity because there's three other events at the World Congress Center. And to top that all off, there's some sort of river dance. James Lewis, certified financial planner, is actually doing the river dance jig here while he's answering phones this morning. So it's going to be a mess. You know, if it's sprinkling rain, which there's obviously a continued chance of throughout the day, it's going to be even worse. We get a sprinkle. It's like a blizzard here in Atlanta. So you're going to have to tune into WSB Radio for traffic and weather and navigate the storm of traffic headed down to the Georgia World Congress Center to see Donald Trump, which, by the way, you can go onto his website, register for the event. WSB Radio will be covering the event live. Edgar Tragus will be at the event at Georgia World Congress Center, getting sound from Trump supporters, from Trump himself, of course, and that'll all be on air here on WSB Radio in the morning. Of course, you know, I've got a long history with Donald Trump going back 10, I guess 11, almost 12 years now. I had many days on The Apprentice during the heyday of that show, so I got to know the guy. And yes, he's a polarizing figure. He's tough. I know that a lot of people love him and a lot of people still hate him. Even Republicans I talk to still don't like him. And I'm not here to make a political stand when it comes to Trump, but he's really not as bombastic as he is in the media. He knows he is an absolute genius. I can hear my mother cringing right now, who hates Trump. He talks like a second grader. Yeah, he talks like a second grader because he's talking to America and he wants everyone to understand what he's saying. He doesn't have the vocabulary or the intellect of a second grader or a fourth grader. He just wants to communicate on that level so people understand him. So whether you like him or not, I'm here to tell you that he's not as bombastic in real life than he is on television, and he is a dad, and he does care, and he's not a crazy man like he sometimes comes off in public. What he is an absolute media puppeteer, and everything he does in the media is for a reason. So he takes on the Pope for a reason. He says we're going to build a wall, and they're going to pay for it for a reason, and you should boycott Apple for a reason. Because he continues to be in the headlines and he continues to dominate. If you want to be president, what do you have to do in order to do anything and affect change? First, you got to win to become the president. And a lot of this that you see out of him, that's what he's doing. So But again, I'm not here to make this a political show at all. I know plenty of people can't stand the guy. Does he make me a little nervous when it comes to how he handles foreign affairs and how that might impact the stock market, which is what I care about? Yeah, it makes me a little nervous. But that's not what today's about. What we're here to talk about on Money Matters is to drive through whatever political cloud is on the horizon, whatever economic cloud is on the horizon, because there's never a perfect time to get in the market, never a perfect time to be an investor. In fact, the best times to become an investor are typically times when there are covers of storms, not sunshine, dominating headlines. And that's exactly where we are today. 404-872-0750. We're going to go to the phones here. Let's start with Ed, who is on the line joining us from somewhere in the United States of America. Good morning, Ed. How can we help you this morning?
Good morning, Wes. Calling you from Lawrenceville.
Lawrenceville. Welcome, Lawrenceville.
Well, thank you. Question here. I'll be 66 this year, and I plan on working until I'm 69.
Okay, you'll be 66 this year. When do you turn?
In May.
You turn 66 in May. Got it.
Yeah, plan on working until I'm 69. And if I'm reading my Social Security update letter correctly, I can start drawing my full benefit this year when I turn 66 and still keep working, earning unlimited amounts of money.
You can, well, right. So when you turn 66, you can now, if you wanted to, you could start drawing Social Security. You can earn as much as you want and not have any sort of reduction in Social Security.
All right.
And that's correct. So you've got to be careful about not to take it until you're 66. Otherwise, if you do it any time before that, even a month before that, you're going to have a big offset when it comes to the amount that you're receiving. So just that rule of thumb makes it really simple in my mind. You just, if you're going to file anytime in that range, just wait till you're fully 66. You keep working, you get both. There's no penalty. The thought though has to do with taxes. So if you're working and you have a pretty high income and you don't really need your social right now, yeah, by not taking it, you're leaving money on the table. And I get that. However, you also in a still probably a really high tax bracket. So it might make sense for you, and the numbers may really be to your advantage to wait, because when you do stop working, unless you have a huge pension, your tax bracket, your federal tax bracket should go down a bunch. And then when you're collecting your social, you're keeping more of your social at that point. So that's another variable. So your calculation, Ed, isn't just, hey, what amount am I not taking? Or what account am I leaving on the, or what amount am I leaving on the table until I start? But it's also what amount am I leaving on the table? And you got to look at it as a net of taxes scenario as well. 404-872-0750 is the number here in the studio. We'll continue to go to the phones here. Let's go to Kim, who joins us on the line from the venerable city of Toco Hills, where everyone is in a good mood on Sunday mornings. Tim,
yeah,
or Kim, how can I help?
It's actually not a city. It's just a neighborhood, I guess. But at any rate, I'm wondering, one of my investments includes the Vanguard 2025 fund, and I'm guessing this is a question you've never been asked before. What happens when 2025 comes along? Do they maintain that fund? Do they disband it? Do they close it? I mean, eventually, let's face it, if people are, let's say you're retiring at 65 in 2025, you know, when it's like 2080, most of those people are going to be long gone.
Right. So they don't.
Those funds.
I don't know if this is a trick question or not. Let me do one thing.
I'm just wanting to know.
Vanguard, let me look at one thing here. Vanguard Target. As we speak, okay, so here's the deal. Here's the answer, is that if you look at the Vanguard Retirement 2010 fund, it's 2016, it's technically 6 years past the date, and it's still running. So okay. What happens, though, is that it won't go away, it's not gonna be disbanded, it's just gonna, it will assume that now you are retired when it hits the year 2025, so the allocation is just gonna reflect that. So okay. it's not gonna go away, it's just going to be in its most retirement-centric posture, if you will. And for example, if you look at the Vanguard Target Retirement 2010 Fund, That means that Vanguard assumes that you retired around the year 2010. It's got a really heavy allocation to bonds and cash. So it's 61% in bonds, 5% in cash. So it's 66% out of the stock market, and the other third, so two-thirds in bonds and assets that are there for safety and income, and the other third for some growth, and again, some income from dividends. It's in the stock side of the market. I would call that the growth bucket where I come from. It would be two-thirds in the income bucket, various kinds of fixed income or bonds, and one-third in the growth bucket that's going to have mostly, well, in this case, it's going to have both dividend-oriented and growth-oriented stocks. So you're getting income from the whole allocation itself, but you're also expecting to get some sort of growth and capital appreciation as well out of the growth bucket. And that's how I see investing. When I'm building a portfolio, I want to have, and my favorite portfolio is a balance between both sides. So I want to have typically, and this certainly changes depending on time horizon and overall risk tolerance, but I usually start with about 45% in the income bucket, which are various bonds, 5% in what I call the alternative income bucket, that is preferreds and real estate investment trusts and MLP pipeline companies. And then 45% in the growth bucket, which are stock oriented. But what I buy in that bucket or what I own, I want to be dividend oriented. Now, that's my preference. Doesn't mean you shouldn't have companies like Facebook or Google that don't pay an income and are still growing. And if you're a growth investor and or you are younger, that can make all the sense in the world. What I'm usually planning for is generating an income stream. So I lean much more towards stocks within the growth bucket that pay dividends. So that, yes, they pay 3-4% in yield, but I also want capital appreciation on top of that. More calls straight ahead. You're listening to News Weather Traffic. You're listening to Money Matters right here on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.
Certified financial planner, Wes Moss.
Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. Stay tuned. We've got political coverage throughout the rest of this day. 11 o'clock, Alan Sanders will be on. His first guest will be Bill Crane in the first hour. And then in the second hour, in the 12 o'clock hour, joined by Jamie Dupree to talk South Carolina and the GOP. 404-872-0750, the number in the studio. Ann joins us from Duluth. Hi, Ann. Good morning.
Good morning, Wes. Congratulations on your new little boy.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, it is sleepless nights a little bit. Now, we've got a lot of help, but I forgot what babies were all about. It's a lot.
Those first couple months are hard, aren't they?
They are. So how can I help?
Well, I've got quite a bit into Franklin Income, and the symbol is FKINX, and I do have, like Putman, some couple stocks in that. I've got Genuine Parts, Southern Company, a couple others that I can't think of right now. I've got CDs. I have money in bonds, and I've just got some cash.
So you're, to some extent, all over the place, but one of your bigger questions or bigger holdings sounds like this Franklin Income Fund.
Yes, that seems to... not coming back.
Well, here's what's happening with Franklin Income. That fund is, it's about two-thirds stock, a third in bond, but it's very income-oriented. And what they've done is they've had a really heavy allocation to energy. So if you look up that portfolio as I'm doing this when we're talking, you're looking at, it's got a big Royal Dutch Shell position, and it looks like that's both on the stock and the bond side. So they own energy stocks and they own energy bonds. So that's why that fund has fallen almost 20% over the last year. They've been around for a very long time. I've known about that fund for the last almost 20 years. I think that it's a fund that has probably gone through one of its roughest periods. And if oil and energy stabilizes, it'll probably do really, really well. So I would just be careful about dumping it that too soon. I'd say if you've been patient this long, it probably another 6 months to a year of patience will likely pay off. You're listening to Money Matters. Stay tuned, news, weather, traffic straight ahead, then more Money Matters here on News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB. Well, good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. I'm your host, Wes Moss, here every Sunday morning to take your calls and your questions. 404-872-0750. Stormy seas. That's the cover of Barron's this week. I've talked about this the last 2 hours. We've got a fishing boat about to capsize in a gigantic wave as though it's a small ship in the middle of the North Atlantic Sea in the perfect storm. Yet, it also has a headline that says, despite the turbulent markets, the U.S. economy is going to grow 3%, a healthy 3%. And really, the data does support that. I've been talking about the economy and the economic underpinnings, how it doesn't look like we're going into recession anytime soon over the last several months. As we correct in the market can very easily become disconnected from the underlying economy. The market is its own emotional animal that's got a 10 to 20% froth in either direction at any given time. When we feel good about the economy and traders want to trade and they're in a buying mood, we could be 10 or 20% overvalued. And what's happened in this latest correction is that that's gone the other direction. If we continue to stay out of recession, and my economic team only puts the recession chance of 2016 at 20%. So it's only a 1 out of 5 chance that we'll go into recession this year, from my calculation. Then we end up having a decent economic year, which makes the correction that we're in have a little bit less bite. You don't have 30 or 40% market corrections if the economy doesn't go into recession. So if we stay out of the quicksand economically, the market likely is getting close to a point where it can stabilize. I think it's still a little early. Even though we had a rally, we've had about a 5% rally. If you go back to not this Thursday, but last Thursday, I think part of that is just oversold conditions lead to new buyers will eventually rush in. I think that's part of what we saw. But we are starting to put in a little bit of this bottoming process, at least it looks like to me, as the world realizes, hey, we're economically, we're not falling off a cliff. Again, I'm your host, Wes Moss, here every Sunday morning from 9 to 11 to take your calls and your questions. Tune in tomorrow morning. We have a lot going on here at WSB. Number one, today, 4 o'clock, Edgar Tregus live at the Georgia World Congress Center. He's covering the Trump rally. Trump cleaned up in South Carolina last night. Whether you love him, hate him, like him or love him, he is really separating himself from the pack in the GOP. Tomorrow morning, we're going to have coverage of that, of course, a recap of South Carolina. Today at 11 o'clock, right after Money Matters, Alan Sanders will be on with a 2-hour special. He'll have on Bill Crane, political analyst and expert, and Jamie Dupree. So again, continue to stay tuned. And then at 1, Von Hessler comes on, the Von Hessler Doctrine. Again, tomorrow morning, tune in, of course, weather, traffic, Kirk Mellish, one of my favorite people in the universe, certainly my favorite weather person on the planet. And of course, that's brought to you by Shoemate Heating and Air. Let's go to the phones here. James Lewis has been under fire today answering phones. James himself, a certified financial planner, so he knows the answer to all these questions as well. I just get to talk to you on air, so that's kind of fun. The number in the studio, 404-872-0750. James, we're headed to which line again? We're going to line 3. Tim joins us from Fayetteville. Tim, good morning. How can we help?
Looking at the FCISX.
Got it.
Franklin Fund.
Franklin Income Fund. It's funny, we had a call about that earlier. It was a slightly different share class, but I know that fund. Okay. And what else?
Yeah. Well, and then JTP. It's a Nuveen fund.
That's a Nuveen preferred stock fund. Let me look that up. Yes. It's a preferred stock. It's actually a closed-end fund, Tim. A couple of thoughts here. Number one, and when you're looking at that Franklin Income Fund, first of all, that's the C share. That's probably the worst thing about the share that you own, is that it's a more expensive share class for that particular fund. In the world we live in today, you can buy a mutual fund, the same exact underlying stocks, bonds, portfolio for and pay differently in every scenario. You're in a share class with the C share class that's really expensive. So agnostic, whether regardless of what fund it is, I would tell you that that's an issue right there, is that you typically don't want to own C share mutual funds because they're just plain expensive. They're typically a 1% management fee and then another 1% on top of that to pay the broker who sold it to you. And that's every single year. So 2% on 2% on 2% is a lot. Now, let's get to the underlying. That fund is very income-oriented. So it's a dividend stock fund, which I like, and a higher-yielding bond fund, which I like. And the strategy is all about consistent income. It's got a yield of, over the years, anywhere from 5 to 6% annual yield. So if you really target companies that are paying high dividends and paying high income, you can easily get a yield of 5 or 6% in the world we live in. But in order to do that, Tim, and what that fund is doing is it's taking on a fair amount of risk. Right now, where do you get really high dividends and really high interest? Well, you get it from energy, and you get it from energy companies. And if you really heavily loaded towards those areas, then you can see a portfolio have a whole lot of volatility, particularly in the last year, where oil's gone from 100 down to 20. That's what's happened to this fund. If you look at some of the top holdings, Royal Dutch Shell, number one holding on the stock side. And I believe, from what I'm finding on Morningstar, it's also the number one bond holding. They're both Royal Dutch. So they've got a lot of energy exposure. And that's why this, as a fund, is down about almost 20%. So 15 to 20%, depending on the way you look at it. So I don't think that the philosophy is broken. And they've been around for many, many years. And it's perennially been a pretty good fund. But it's in a really rough space. And I would say that if you've been patient this long in a fund like that, I think that oil is a lot closer to bottoming than it is going back down another 20 or 30%. So I would probably, if it were me, and I don't own this fund, I would probably be a little bit patient here, knowing that oil, thinking that oil is certainly closer to stabilizing than falling off a cliff. So that's my thought on that fund. Number two, JTP is a little bit of a different story. JTP has done pretty well. Preferred stocks have done well. They've done well for a couple of reasons. One, if you look at a preferred, it's very much like either a long-term bond, like a 30-year bond, or even longer than that, because a lot of these preferred stocks are perpetual. They never mature. So they can just keep going and going and going. And what we do know about maturity, length of time when you get your, until you get your money back, 1 year CD or bond, you get your money back, 5 year CD or bond, you get your money back in 5 years, you get interest along the way, is that when rates go down, the prices of those instruments go up. And it's even more exacerbated the longer the term the bond is. Think of a gigantic seesaw. If you have a very long maturity, you're at the edge of the seesaw. So you get a lot of movement up and down, as opposed to a short maturity, which would be on the fulcrum of the seesaw. When it moves up and down, it doesn't move a whole lot. You're at the very end of the seesaw with preferreds. So like we've seen over the last year, what have interest rates done? Well, instead of going up because the Fed trying to crank rates up, interest rates in general, which are market controlled, mostly not just Fed controlled, but mostly market controlled, they've come down. So the value of preferreds have actually stayed pretty stable and actually gone up a little bit. So it's been a good environment for preferreds. And if rates stay stable and relatively low, those preferreds will probably be fine for a while. However, just know that the minute there is a whiff of rates starting to go up and they really start cranking up, preferreds are going to get hammered. They're going to go down, not just a 1 or 2%, but you see a 1% interest rate increase on the 10-year treasury, you could see preferreds go down by 10%, 15%, especially if you own a leveraged closed-end fund full of preferreds. So just know that in the environment we're in, it's done really well. It probably can stay doing pretty well because it has a pretty high yield. It's probably a, I haven't looked, 7-8% yield.
8.2.
So it's a really high yield. So it's done really well for you. But just know that you want to be out of that before rates really start going up. Otherwise, that will it won't go down a little bit. It'll get absolutely hammered. 404-872-0750 is the number in the studio. We're going to Nevin, who joins us from Loganville. Nevin, good morning. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Wes. How are you?
Good. I've never heard the name Nevin. Where does that come from?
How can I explain it?
It sounds like you're a character. It's someone from the X-Men. It's like you'd be like a superhero. The superhero Nevin joins us from Loganville on the road. How can we help? What's going on?
Question for you. I'm not an expert in finances, but I am interested in following prices of gold and silver. I've been following silver for the past year, and I remember maybe half a year ago, spot price was close to $20, but now it's about $15. Could you kindly explain how the prices of gold and silver reflect the economy? I was told that when the economy is bad, that gold and silver prices tend to go up. But I've noticed lately that, like I've said before, silver has been hovering around 15. So is that indicative of the economy getting better, or is there some funny correlation between the market, gold, and the economy? I mean,
So Nevin, it's a very complicated relationship. I remember it wasn't that long ago, call it 3 or 4 years ago, when gold had been on about a 10-year run up, and it had been a really good asset class for really all of, let's say, from really 2000 all the way to 2010, had a great run. And we got to the point where you would hear gold commercials. Every third commercial was a gold commercial. And the gold commercials are, buy gold if you're worried about inflation, and buy gold if you're worried about deflation, and buy gold if you're worried about destabilization.
Right.
And buy gold if the economy is getting better. It was as if gold was the perfect elixir to every environment, and that's just not true. It has its own properties. It can also look like a currency. So it can be treated as a currency to some extent. So I've heard many a genius market commentator throw their hands in the air and say, I have no idea what really drives gold. Dennis Gartman, one of the biggest commodity traders on the planet, he'll often say it's impossible to figure out the direction of gold. Warren Buffett doesn't even invest in gold because he doesn't understand it and doesn't understand why it goes up or why it goes down. So I would look at it this way. The one thing we do know is that it's a true non-correlated, not inversely correlated, like they'd like to sell it to you. In that fashion, but it just is an uncorrelated asset to the stock market. And that's the only reason I would own any gold, is that it doesn't move with stocks or with bonds. It's its own animal. And over time, actually it can have some properties that give you it can make an overall portfolio actually a little bit less volatile because it doesn't move in lockstep with the rest of the world. But make no mistake, it is not a safety asset that goes up just because stocks are crashing. That is a total misnomer. And gold can go down 20, 30% in any given environment, and it's very hard to predict. You're listening to Money Matters. I'm your host, Wes Moss. Find me and the Money Matters team, wesmoss.com, WESMOSS.com. And straight ahead, more Money Matters right here on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.
More great money and investment advice from certified financial planner Wes Moss.
Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. Tune in tomorrow morning. Kirk Mellish's weather forecast brought to you by Shoemate Heating and Air. We've got a gigantic Trump rally that's happening 4 p.m. today, Georgia World Congress Center. Edgar Tregas, our WSB Edgar Tregas, will be there live covering the event. And then, of course, tomorrow morning, you're going to hear all about South Carolina, what's happening politically. So stay tuned to WSB tomorrow. And then, of course, today, because it's going to be an absolute traffic zoo getting down to downtown Atlanta. There's three other gigantic events, plus the River Dance that's happening. And I don't even know what kind of traffic that'll create all downtown. So tune in to WSB Radio Traffic as well today. Any sort of sprinkles on the road when it comes to precipitation, of course, just compounds the traffic problem. With that, we covered a lot today. It is a swirl of a world that we live in. And you're going to continue to see nervous headlines about the market, the economy, where are we headed? Well, right now, there's a very low probability that we go into recession in 2016. 80% chance that we stay above the flat line and maybe even get to a 3% GDP number. So we have growth in America in 2013 or 2016. And if that happens, this market correction that we're currently in, even though we've bounced back since last week, stays more of a correction as opposed to a really nasty bear market. If you want to find me and the Money Matters team, it's easy to do so. You can always go to my website, wesmoss.com. That's WESMOSS.com, or email me, radio@yourwealth.com. Stay tuned. We've got political coverage for the rest of the day coming up. Alan Sanders will have on A, Bill Crane, B, Jamie Dupree, and then the Von Hessler Doctrine at 1. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday.